would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 18. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33 and read through verse 38, or at least part of verse 38. We'll stop at the end of the first sentence in verse 38. Look, please, at your Bibles in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I did not ask Brother David to sing the song that we sang, but it again confirms, as often is the case, that the subject that's on my heart is what God would have us to try to study. The song that we just sang says, "Bless Thou the truth, dear Lord, to me. Bless Thou the truth to me." The third verse says, "Teach me to love Thy truth." The fourth verse says, "Show me the truth concealed within Thy Word." The subject that's on my heart this morning is the subject of truth. Truth. Every verse of that song talked about the subject of truth. Brother Clay Gill, yesterday morning in our... we had a devotional yesterday morning, and Brother Clay brought a message on the subject of truth, and this has been very strongly on my heart, and I was ready to preach, and I said so in the meeting that we were in. I said, I'm ready to preach right now on the subject of truth. And really, the more you study God's Word, you'll find that the subject of truth is a very difficult thing to try to grasp and get hold of in its entirety. In fact, I do not believe that this morning that I will be able to completely cover the subject of truth. I do believe that there are two very clear divisions in the Word of God as well as in the dictionary on the subject of truth. And those are the two main things that we're going to be looking at, primarily the second. But we're going to begin now by reading from John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. The Word of God says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it of thee, of me? And Pilate answered, I am a Jew. Am I a Jew? Thine own nation, the chief priests, have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him," what did he say? "What is truth?" What is truth? That's the question that's on my mind and my heart this morning is, what is truth? What is truth? Now, I'm going to begin by giving you two definitions from the World Book Encyclopedia Dictionary. I'm going to give you two different definitions. The first definition that's given in the dictionary about truth is that which is in accordance with fact. That which is in accordance with fact. That means, and the example it gave is, that we should always speak the truth. Did you know that's a major problem in our society today, is people tell so many lies? I'm not talking about all the bad guys out there in the world. I'm talking about people right here. I'm talking about every one of us. Doesn't matter whether you talk about big lies or little lies, is there anybody here that thinks that you have never told a lie? Is there anyone here that thinks you have never told a lie? Now, I think that your silence admits that we do all, some to varying degrees of others, we all have at one time or another that we have told a lie. And that is not a small thing in the sight of God to tell a lie. Now, there are some people that have just thrown truth to the wind and they don't even know, they tell so many lies that they don't even recognize truth anymore. There are some people who have no concern about truth. It doesn't bother them to tell a lie. There are some people that lying does bother. There are some people that when they tell a lie, they have to come back to you and their conscience pricks their heart and soul, and they come back to you and they say, you know, I did not tell that exactly the way it was, and I need to tell you again exactly the way it was. Or maybe they think about their words later, but they, in one way or another, they recognize what I said was not actually the complete truth. And if you don't tell the whole truth, if you try to disguise something where you really are giving a false impression, that still, by definition, is a lie. When you try to deceive someone, and you might say words that make them think you're saying one thing, but really you're covering up or concealing what the real matter is, you are lying. That is a lie by definition. You're not telling the truth unless you tell the whole truth. And there are some people that when they tell a story, they tell a lie. When they tell a lie, they feel very bad about it. Those individuals are children of God that have not gone so hard that lying, that their conscience, let me back up, they have not gone so far that their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. That's a biblical expression. And sometimes God's children lie so much that it doesn't bother them to lie. They have no guilt about lying. And usually once a person reaches the point that they have no guilty feeling about lying, they also have no guilty feeling about anything else they do. If you can reach a point, or if you're reaching a point, if lying does not bother you, you're reaching a point that nothing you do that's wrong will bother you. Now, there are some... Have you ever seen somebody that you knew they were telling a lie? How many of you have ever seen with your children? How many of you have ever known they were telling a lie? How many of you have ever seen your children? And as soon as they said it, you could just tell. Now, that they're not telling the truth. They're lying. As soon as they said it, you could look at them and you could tell. Now, they're lying. And the main reason you can tell they're lying is because their conscience is not seared yet, and they're feeling bad about what they're saying, and they're wording, and they're stumbling, and they're not looking at you, and they're evading questions, and answers are such that you know they're telling a lie. Now, other people are so good at lying that you think sometimes they're telling the truth. There are people that lie so often and so much that they don't drop their head, they don't drop their eyes, they don't shift, they don't stutter, and they don't stammer when they tell a lie. They can look you right in the eyeball, and they can tell you a bold-faced lie, and it doesn't bother them one iota. It doesn't bother them at all. I'm telling you, any child of God that can lie, any child of God that can tell lies, and their conscience does not convict them, that child of God is very near, if has not already experienced a sin unto death, and they have no fellowship with God, even though they may think that they do, their conscience is gone, their conviction, God is not pricking their hearts about lying, and therefore God is also not pricking their hearts about anything else. The serious thing, lying leads to many other problems in our lives. How many of you have ever heard a little white lie? Do you know why the devil comes up with terminology like we have today? A little white lie. Did you know there is no such thing as a little lie? There's no such thing as a white lie. You know why we want to call it white? We're trying to whitewash it. We're trying to make it clean. We're trying to say, well, it wasn't a big lie, it was a little lie. It wasn't a black lie, it was a white lie. It's a lie. Let me tell you, I'm just going to mention, I'm going to have to cover so many scriptures this morning that I don't have time to turn to all of them, but I want to read you three scriptures that I jotted down, and I want you to listen to these scriptures very carefully about us speaking lies, about us not telling the truth. I want you to hear the seriousness of telling a lie. The Word of God says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. The Word of God says, he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Every lie that you ever tell, you're going to have to give account of to God. Every lie that I ever tell, every one of them, I'm going to be judged by the words that come out of my mouth. And I'm going to be judged by every single lie that I ever tell. And the third verse that I wrote down is all, listen carefully now to this. The Word of God says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire, which is the second death. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire, which is the second death. Now, brethren, there is a hell for God's people when they commit lies. When you tell lies, you're going to have your part in the lake which burneth with fire. In fact, the Word of God also says, and I didn't write this down, but it just came to my mind. The Word of God also says this. I'll give you one other scripture. Talking about the kingdom of heaven, while you are lying, and I want you to mark this down. I want you to remember it. I don't want you to forget it. That when you're telling lies, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot. Because the Word of God says in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, or telleth a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You cannot be lying and enter into the kingdom of God. Every time you lie, you're out of the kingdom of God. Is lying serious? Now, I don't have, it's not the burden of my heart to spend the rest of the morning on that. But listen, I am not minimizing it by going on to the main thing that's on my heart. But I want you to remember the first definition of lying that is given in the dictionary is that which is in accordance with fact. That's the definition of truth. Truth is that which is in accordance with fact. We must all pray for God to help us to speak the truth all the time. And this is something that God has convicted my heart about, is that I need to be very careful about speaking the truth in every way. And I ask you to pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray, God, help me to always speak just exactly what is truth. Number nine. Yes, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's what lying is. There's not one of the Ten Commandments that says thou shalt not lie, but the ninth of the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not bear false witness. Every time you lie, you're bearing false witness. You're saying something that's not true. Truth. Is truth important? Truth is extremely important in the Word of God. Now, that's the first definition. The second definition is this, and it's used these two ways primarily in the Scriptures. Either the definition, that which is in accordance with fact, and the second one is closely tied to it, but it's different, a fixed or established principle, law, or doctrine. Now that's what truth is. Truth is a fixed or established principle, law, or doctrine. Here it is. The Bible is a body of truth. Now do you hear that? The Bible is a body of truth. Truth, the second definition, is a fixed or established principle, law, or doctrine. The Bible is truth. Listen, the Bible says this, not just that the Bible is truth. The Bible says that God is truth. He is a God of truth. God is truth. The Word of God says that Jesus said about Himself, Jesus says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. That's John 14:6. The Word of God says about Jesus that He is full of grace and truth. Now, if you're going to talk about God, you're going to also be talking about truth. God is a God of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Did you know the Bible says God cannot, what? You fill in the blank there, three-letter word. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. He is a God of truth. God has never lied. God can never lie. He cannot lie. All He ever speaks is truth. God the Father is truth. God the Son is truth. And God the Holy Spirit is truth. And the Word of God confirmed that repeatedly. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to John chapter 16. Look at John chapter 16. Listen please to verses 12 and 13. I want you to see that. What about the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit, is He the truth? Yes, He is. He's the truth. He's called, the Holy Spirit is called in John 14, He's called the Spirit of truth. And then in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, the Word of God says, I am, John 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Who is that Spirit of truth? No. This is Jesus speaking. It's the Holy Spirit. There you are. Jesus is truth. And Jesus says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Do you need to be guided into truth? Now, I'm not talking about speaking the truth now, I'm talking about guided into those principles that are truth. That's the Word of God. God will guide you into all truth. Let me tell you this, if you are not guided by the Holy Spirit, you cannot see the truth in the Word of God. Even though this book is Thy Word, Jesus says in John 17, Thy Word is what? Truth. It's the body of truth. Thy Word is truth. But did you know you can't even understand the truth of God's Word unless the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth? You have to have it revealed to you. It has to be shown to you. There are things that are true that many of God's people have never seen. There are things that are true that most of God's children have never seen. There are some things that are true that many of God's children have seen. There are some things that are true that every child of God has seen and understood. So there's a great gamut of difference between how much truth is understood by God's children. How many of you think these drapes behind me are blue? Hold up your hand. Nobody? Is there not a person here that thinks these are blue drapes? Well, they look blue to me. I don't know how I got off track. How many of you think those drapes are green? Hold up your hand. My wife and I still argue about this, and I don't know how I got it mixed up. Somewhere along the line. Now, Brother Donald has on a blue shirt, and that's blue. And Sister Gladys has on a blue sweater. And that's blue to me, but that's not blue to me. See, somewhere I got it all mixed up. That's, to me, that's green. No, that's blue. This is green. This carpet is green. The carpet is green. Now, do all of you see a difference in the color of this carpet and the color of these drapes? How many of you can see that there's a difference in the color of this carpet and the color of these drapes? Can y'all see that? There's a difference. So please don't call those green drapes anymore. Those are blue. Now, how many of you know those are blue drapes? Well, I changed some people. You see, listen, there's a point in what I'm trying to get across. You can learn something wrong and believe it the rest of your life. You can learn something wrong and always believe it's truth
And in fact, it is a lie. And you can tell things that you think are true that are lies. That's the reason that among Christians today, we have such a wide difference and various of beliefs is because we're not sure what is truth. That's the question that Pilate asked of Jesus, what is truth? And let me tell you something, brethren, truth is important. I think that many of God's children today, and I'm talking about what is true about God and what is the truth of His holy word, I think many of God's children just don't care much today about what is truth. They're more concerned with people and they're more concerned with being nice than they are with what is truth. Brethren, truth is important. I'm talking about knowing the truth of God's word is important. And many people say, well, nobody knows all the truth. I don't argue that point, brethren. But I'm telling you, every child of God ought to be seeking to know every truth that's in God's Word. I want to know all the truth of God's Word. There are some preachers that I meet with regularly in this community, and we are seeking truth. And we sit down with one another, and we say, now, look at this Scripture, look at this Scripture, look at this Scripture. And as we look at Scriptures and discuss those Scriptures, There are some preachers that are more concerned about what is truth than others are. There are some preachers that don't really care what this book says. They're going to hold on to traditions. They're going to hold on. It's just like me. I think y'all converted me this morning on the color of those drapes. I converted to two or three of y'all, but y'all converted me. Listen, if this whole church thinks that those grapes are green, I'll try not to argue with you anymore, Teresa, about that color. But every time I see that color, I think that's blue. There are a lot of God's children, that do not understand the truth of God's Word. Did you know that? And one of the most, I'm going to say that you and I, we don't realize what a blessing it is to understand the truth of God's Word. Whatever truth you understand is truth that has been revealed to you by God. This is the body of truth. This book is truth. Jesus says, Thy Word is truth. Jesus said, Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. We need the truth of God's Word. I don't want to know what you think is truth. I want to know the truth. Now, the color of drapes don't make a lot of difference to me, brethren, but the truth of God's Word is very important. Why is it so important? Well, one reason is that in the book of John, Jesus makes this statement in John 4:24, they that worship Him, Jesus speaking about worshiping God, He says, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something, brethren. If I'm teaching something that is not truth, I am not worshiping God, and we are not worshiping God, as long as what I'm saying is not truth. Do you hear me? Truth is important. We're not worshiping God unless it's in spirit and in truth. You can have the truth without the spirit. But I don't believe you can have the Spirit without the truth. You may not understand all of what I'm saying right there, but it's important. The truth is important. There was a time that among Christians that people would just nail down, now, truth. We cannot compromise on truth. Doesn't matter whether it's moral truth. There was a clear delineation. There was a marked difference in what is right and what is wrong. Churches held up a standard of morality, and that standard was not based on what we think or what we feel. The standard of what is right and wrong is given to us in the Word of God. It does not matter what I think or feel about homosexuality. It does matter what God says about it. And God has not changed. Does not matter what I think or feel about divorce and remarriage. Doesn't matter if I want to change it. It doesn't matter who I want to change it for. The laws of God have not changed on divorce and remarriage. Doesn't matter what I think or feel about the qualifications of a pastor. Does not matter what I think or feel. Doesn't matter what the majority says. Did you know if every Christian, if every church-going person in America says that a preacher can have more than one wife, that does not make it true. It's still a lie. You can't change truth. If you understand what truth is, it is something that God has declared. I'm talking about spiritual truth. It's something that God has declared in His Word is one way. And by the way, there is no more discussion when God says something is a particular way. That's the end of it. And all of God's Word harmonizes. You'll never find God telling you to do something in one scripture and then He tells you don't do it in another. God's Word is truth. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what you need to be praying for every Sunday when you come to the house of God? You know what you need to be praying for? You need to be praying, God, help us to hear the truth. Help us to hear the truth. Help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. And listen, brethren, if I or this church stops preaching and teaching the truth of God's Word, if you hear me preaching and teaching something that is not based on a thus saith the Lord, I exhort you, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ that you come to me and show me the error of my way. Don't you ever let me or any other preacher stand here and preach something that's contradicted by the Word of God. You have an obligation that this church be the pillar and ground of the truth. In fact, that is the definition of the church. Look in your Bibles at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Listen, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Listen, please, to verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and says, "These things write I unto thee." Is it important what's written down in the Word of God? Is that important what's written down in the Word of God? Do you know what I tell everybody that I sit down to study with, including those preachers that I meet with in this community every week to study with? I tell them almost every time, at least I tell them in the beginning without fail, I say, don't you ever believe anything I say just because I said it. If I tell you something and I can't give you a thus saith the Lord, if I tell this church something and you can't take God's Word and see that's what God's Word says, then you need to come to me. If I know my heart, I only want to preach the Word of God. And if I preach anything other than the Word of God, I am not preaching truth. I want to preach the truth. The truth is important. So he says, Paul says to Timothy, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What is the definition in this verse of the church? The church is the what? It's the pillar and what? And ground of what? The truth. What's the pillar? You got to get some old folks to understand what a pillar is. This isn't a pillow. Pillow's what you sleep on at night. A pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, a pillar is something that holds something up. You have pillars under the building. Brother Carthel, the first house you lived in, did it have some pillars, P-I-L-L-A-R-S, pillars under it? Now, this building has pillars under it, a little different than the old buildings used to be. But the pillar and ground is something that holds up something. Do you know what the church is? I'm not going to say what the church is supposed to be doing. I'm going to say this is what the true church is doing. The true church of Jesus Christ is holding up the truth. The true church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth.
The true church of Jesus Christ has a standard that it's holding up, and that standard is truth. Do you see the importance of the truth? Do you see that if we're not teaching the truth, we're not the church of Jesus Christ? Do you see that if we're not teaching the truth, we're not worshiping God? Because they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we deviate from the truth, not only will the truth be gone, but the Spirit of God will be gone from this church. God will not bless a church when they deviate from the truth of His Word. He'll remove His Spirit. No, don't go there yet. If I don't get to it when I start to sit down, you go there. Brother Donald, you always like the truth. You love the truth. You don't. You don't. The truth will hurt your feelings? Well, thank the Lord, you've got an understanding. Because some people say, well, I just love the truth. I just love the truth. Oh, they don't know much truth, or they would not love. They wouldn't say, I love the truth, because, brethren, sometimes the truth will hurt you. The truth will hurt your feelings. If I tell you the truth, I have to tell many people truth sometimes that breaks my heart. And if you're going to be true to God, you're going to have to tell people the truth, not the truth as you see it. Doesn't matter if I say that's blue. That doesn't matter. What is truth? Doesn't matter if I say it's all right for you to do something. What is truth? What does God say is right? What does God say is wrong? That's what truth is. Not what I think, not what I feel, not what the majority feels, but what does God say is right and wrong? That's what truth is. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians just a moment. Back up just a moment to Galatians chapter 3. Did you know that you can be led away from the truth? Did you know that I can lead you away from the truth, Brother Brian? Can I lead you away from the truth? Sure. We get to be good friends. We get to liking each other. And before long, if I get away from the truth, you'll follow me right down that primrose of lies. And so it is important that you know what God's Word says, not that you just listen to what I say it says, but that you study the Word of God. That you, the Scripture says in Proverbs 23:23, the Word of God says, buy the truth and sell it not. Do you need to buy the truth? How do you buy the truth? Listen, brethren, you can buy a Bible and never buy the truth. Now, what I mean by that is, if you've bought a Bible, you've bought the body of truth, but you haven't bought the truth that's in the Bible. The only way you buy the truth is through diligent prayer and study of God's Word. You can't just pray about it. You have to study God's Word, and you have to pray, God, I just want to know the truth. Show me the truth. Show me the truth concealed. That's one of the verses of the song we just sang. Show me the truth concealed within thy word. It's concealed. God will show it to you. If you'll pray and you'll study, God will show you the truth. Brother David, you think you've grown in a knowledge of the truth? Aren't you glad you know all the truth now? Don't know. Well, thank goodness. Y'all, how many of y'all think I know all the truth? No, not at all. Not at all. But let me tell you something. If you ever confront me with something and you say what you're teaching is not truth, and you can show me in God's Word that it is truth, and I won't change my opinion and my feeling and my teaching, it's time for this church. It's time for either this church to get rid of me or for you to go somewhere else. Do you understand? Don't you ever be a part of a church where you confront them with truth and they turn their back and harden their heart, and they will not teach the truth of God's Word. Don't you ever be a part of a church. It'd be better for you to be out there, you and your family, worshiping God alone, than for you to ever be a part of a church where truth is there and plainly in the Word of God, and the church will not follow what the truth of God is. Galatians chapter 3, listen please to verse 1. The Word of God says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians. Now, by the way, these are children of God. Foolish children of God. Just like those foolish ten virgins. I'm sorry, foolish five virgins. There were ten virgins. Five of them were what? Five were wise and five were what? Foolish. Have you ever been foolish, Brother James? I have too. Every time I'm sinned, I'm rather foolish. Very foolish. The foolish thing to sin. And he says here in Galatians, oh, don't you know they appreciated this letter? Got a letter and it said, and he called them foolish. Brother Mike, how would you like that? I write you a letter and say, oh, foolish Brother Mike. Huh? Oh, foolish. Foolish Brother James. Foolish Brother Richard. Now, what's your initial reaction going to be when somebody confronts you like that? What's your initial reaction going to be when somebody confronts you with anything that's wrong in your life? What's your initial reaction? Defense, immediately. And yet Paul loved these people so much that he says in Galatians 3:1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not, what? Obey, what? Me. Not obey me, no. Not obey the truth. Can God's people be bewitched and not obey the truth? That's the biggest problem we have in churches today. Is churches have been bewitched and preachers have been bewitched because their concern is more with numbers and their concern is more with money and their concern is more with pleasing people than it is with pleasing God. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you cannot be a friend of God. The Word of God says, whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. An enemy of God. Look at chapter 4. How did the church at Galatia, how do they feel towards Paul right now? This is before they got the letter. He's not trying to make up. He's trying to make it clear what the problem is and where the problem is. How do you think they felt towards Paul? They were already angry with Paul before he ever wrote the letter. Because he'd already talked to them about problems in the church. And he says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Galatians 4, verse 15, he says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. What's he saying in Galatians 4, verse 15? What's he saying? He's saying, there was a time you loved me so much, you would have given me your eyes. Isn't that what he's saying? Now let me tell you something, brethren. A lot of preachers church hop. You know what I mean by church hop? What is church hopping? You get to one church. Let me tell you what goes on every time a preacher goes to a church. They would take their eyes out and give them to that preacher. And they're on a honeymoon. And it's real fun to go to a church to begin with. And by the way, not only are preachers church hoppers, there are a lot of people that are church hoppers. You know why? Because when they go to a church, they get a lot of attention when they first go to the church. And then the honeymoon is over. And the problem we have in America today and the problem we have in churches today is that people are more interested in the attention they get and the honeymoon than they are with sincerity and truth. And you and I as the people of God, we must be determined we're going to hold on to the truth no matter what the cost. We're going to hold on to the truth no matter who leaves. We're going to hold on to the truth. And if you're in the minority, then you have to leave. You understand that? Me or you one, if I'm in the minority and I think something is truth and the majority won't go along with what is truth, then I have to go somewhere else. Now, I'm never to leave because of the difference of opinion on the color of the drapes. Does everybody understand that? It's important that you understand this. There are some things I can compromise on and you can compromise on. And we can compromise on the color of the drapes, the color of the pews, the windows, the size of the building, the shape of the building, anything like that we can compromise on. Tell me, Brother Dennis, why can we compromise on that?
Has no meaning.
That's right. God's Word does not say a building has to have
green carpet or red carpet or blue grapes or green drapes. If it did, then we couldn't compromise on it. Everything the Word of God says, we cannot compromise on that. But everything is not clearly set forth in the Word of God, we can go by majority vote. And you ought to close your mouth once the majority wants to go in a different direction on a matter that is not a scriptural matter. You close your mouth and you love the brethren enough to say the majority wants it that way, that's the way we'll do it. If the majority of this church wants to start having worship service at 6 o'clock in the morning and instead of 11 o'clock, if that's what the majority of the church wants, that's what you need to be satisfied with. You understand that? Don't you ever leave the church because you don't like the opinions of the majority. Oh, listen, I didn't finish. Did this church at one time love Paul so much they would have plucked their eyes out for him? Look at verse 16. After he tells them how much you used to love me, he says in verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Oh, we used to love you so much we would have plucked our eyes out for you. Now we wish you would hit the road. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I ever been an enemy to any of you? Be honest. Come on. Sure. Some of you have been my enemy. You become my enemy when you tell me something that makes me mad. And if you talk to me about something I'm doing wrong, you're my enemy right then. But if I've got the Spirit of God in me, you know what I'll do? I'll begin to be submissive to what truth is. And I will humble myself before God and before you. And I'll come to you and I'll say, thank you for talking to me about that. Thank you for saving me with the truth. Thank you for loving me so much that you wouldn't let me depart from the truth without talking to me about what is truth. The last scripture I want to give you is what Brother Jerry said, and there's a lot more that I could give you than I want to, but I don't. Listen, I can't cover this whole. Do you understand the depth and the breadth of this subject? John chapter 8, and I'll close right here. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, Jesus says in John 8 verses 31 and 32, Jesus is talking to some Jews which believed on Him. Now, brethren, if they believed on Him, they were already born again children of God. In John chapter 8 verse 31, the Word of God says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word." If you what? Were they already born again? They believed. They had faith. They believed on Him. He says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Do you have to do something to become a disciple of Jesus? Yes. More than believe on Him? What do you have to do? Continue in His what? Word. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the" what? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. Oh, brethren, there's great liberty in knowing the truth. You will only know the truth if you believe on Him, if you continue in His word. If you become a disciple indeed, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. May God help us to realize the beauty and the importance of truth, is my prayer for Christ's sake.